Lonestar Mercedes, driving luxury. Lonestar.
As our bodies age, they bring some aches and pains that we haven't had before. And isn't that awesome? Hi, Gord Gillies here for Active Sports Therapy. Their unified team of over 30 expert practitioners have one common goal, to help you truly enjoy all the things you love. Don't suffer through shoulder, hip, or lower back pain. Do something about it with a combination of physiotherapy and sports chiropractic care, including active release techniques, laser, shockwave, acupuncture, and more. All under one roof. Get active about your health and start at activesportstherapy.ca.
QR Calgary is 770 CHQR AM, a Chorus Entertainment radio station.
From the National Newsroom of the Canadian Press, I'm David Augustine. Prime Minister Mark Carney says his first priority when Parliament starts up this week will be on affordability measures. Carney gave a speech intended to rally his Liberal caucus this afternoon that laid out his governing agenda for reopening of Parliament. He promises it will be one of the busiest returns ever.
Our government has been elected to do nothing less than define a new economic and security relationship with the United States and build, and there's a lot of ands in what I'm about to say, and build the strongest economy that works for everyone. Canadians also want their life to become more affordable. They want their communities safer.
Carney says he will immediately introduce legislation to fast-track infrastructure projects deemed to be in the national interest and eliminate all federal barriers to internal trade. Well, King Charles and Queen Camilla will soon be in Canada for a two-day royal visit that's already being called historic. The King is set to open Parliament on Tuesday morning.
A speech from the throne is intended to signal the government's plans for a new legislative session. This throne speech on Tuesday is meant to send a strong signal beyond our borders, because King Charles will be reading the speech as our head of state. Historian and royal commentator Carolyn Harris says it's a showcase of Canada's constitutional monarchy in action and a direct response to U.S. President Donald Trump's threats to make Canada the 51st state. The King and Queen are expected to draw large crowds to downtown Ottawa. Robert Finch, the chairman of the Monarchist League of Canada, says all of this is driving a revival of interest in the monarchy. Sarah Ritchie, The Canadian Press, Ottawa.
A myriad of challenges have been plaguing Canadians and their personal finances. It likely has some people asking how they can better safeguard or even recession-proof their finances. Rubach Wealth Holistic Family Advisors President Elke Rubach says recession-proofing is about preparation.
So recession-proofing isn't really about panic or prediction. It's about preparation. And it's not timing a market, but really structuring your life.
Rubach says the process starts with having a brutally honest conversation with a cash flow review. Well, President Volodymyr Zelensky is calling on Ukraine's Western partners to ramp up sanctions on Moscow. Reporter Marcus Moore says the appeal comes after what Ukrainian officials are calling the largest Russian missile attack since the invasion of Ukraine began.
Zelensky calling for new sanctions and additional pressure on Russia to agree to a ceasefire. Writing on social media, silence of America, silence of others around the world only encourage Putin. Without truly strong pressure on the Russian leadership, this brutality cannot be stopped.
The massive Russian attack killed at least 12 people and injured dozens. Zelensky says the strikes hit more than 30 cities and villages. And the federal government will now be deciding whether to list the snowy owl as threatened under the Species at Risk Act. Earlier this month, the Committee on the Status of Endangered Wildlife in Canada announced it has assessed the bird as threatened. This is the Canadian Press. In sports, the Edmonton Oilers took the dub home today as they defeated the Dallas Stars 6-1 this afternoon. Connor McDavid and Zach Hyman had two goals apiece. McDavid credited Oilers goaltender Stuart Skinner with his 33-save performance, including the second period when Dallas made a big push down 3-1.
I thought Stu did a great job. You know, we played really solid in front of him in game two and not so solid tonight, and gave us a chance to get our legs into it and give us a chance to win.
Game four goes Tuesday in Edmonton. In the MLB, the Toronto Blue Jays could not avoid the sweep today as the Tampa Bay Rays took them down 13-0. They now open a series with the Texas Rangers on Monday. And Alex Palou has become the first driver from Spain to win the Indianapolis 500. Palou says his career resume would never be complete without an Indy 500 win.
So to be an Indy 500 championship, it's amazing.
Marcus Ericsson finished second. David Malukas was third. From the Canadian Press, I'm David Augustine.
The Knee Clinic is Alberta's only private knee clinic, and they'll have your knee issue assessed within days. Call 403-457-KNEE or visit kneeclinic.ca.
Curious Cast Podcast Hour with Chris Dunner Duncombe.
QR Calgary.
And welcome out to the show from the Curious Cast Podcast Network, where we make podcasts for curious people. My name is Dunner. Thanks for joining us today on the Curious Cast Podcast Spotlight. If you've been listening to the show for a while, you're probably used to us playing a featured episode from front to back from a special podcast. Well, now we've expanded the show to a new two-hour format. So every single week on the show, you'll get two featured episodes, two different podcasts, to turn you on to maybe some of your new favorites. There are millions of podcasts out there, and sometimes it can be kind of tough to navigate, to find the best ones, well, at least the best ones for you. We've all got our favorite comedy podcasts that make us laugh, history podcasts that teach us something we didn't know, news podcasts that keep us informed, and true crime podcasts, which we seemingly can't get enough of. Every single week on this show, then, you'll get now two featured podcasts, and we're excited for the shows that we have in store for you. You can find all of the shows that we feature on the show at CuriousCast.ca, in addition to all your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and so many others. All right, let's get to it.
Dark poutine is not for the faint of heart or squeamish. Listener discretion is strongly advised. We're not experts on the topics we present, nor are we journalists. We're two ordinary Canadian schmucks chatting about crime and the dark side of history. Let's get to it. Put on your toque, grab yourself a double-double and a Nanaimo bar. It's time to scarf down some dark poutine. On May 18, 1966, Paul Joseph Chartier, among other things, a disillusioned unemployed security guard and former truck driver, attempted a deadly act of terrorism on Parliament Hill in Ottawa. Chartier's plan was to throw a homemade dynamite bomb into the House of Commons chamber, targeting politicians he blamed for social injustices and his own personal failures. However, the bomb detonated prematurely in a washroom, killing only Chartier himself. This tragic incident drew significant attention at the time, leading to investigations by the RCMP and a federal inquiry. This is Dark Poutine Episode 360, Madness on the Hill, the 1966 Parliamentary Bombing. The day, May 18, 1966, began as usual with Prime Minister Lester B. Pearson reviewing the morning news and preparing for the day's parliamentary battles. Meanwhile, opposition leader John Diefenbaker was embroiled with the ongoing Munzinger affair, which had been plaguing his political career. Between 1958 and 1961, a significant political scandal unfolded in our country involving Pierre Savigny, John Diefenbaker's associate minister of national defense, and Gerda Munzinger, a German immigrant. The affair remained largely unknown until it was dramatically exposed in 1966, becoming Canada's first major parliamentary sex scandal. Savigny's relationship with Munzinger caught the attention of American intelligence agencies who alerted the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. The RCMP subsequently informed Justice Minister Davy Fulton that Munzinger was not only a sex worker, but also posed a potential security risk. Fulton, in turn, relayed this information to Prime Minister Diefenbaker. Upon learning of the situation, Diefenbaker took action by reprimanding Savigny. Following this, Munzinger returned to Germany, while Savigny retained his position in the cabinet. The matter appeared to have been resolved discreetly at this point. However, the scandal erupted into public view on March 4, 1966, when Liberal Justice Minister Lucien Cardin, provoked by conservative accusations regarding security leaks, mentioned Munzinger's name in the House of Commons. This revelation ignited a media frenzy, with the press eagerly covering every aspect of the scandal. In response to the public outcry, a royal commission was established to investigate the matter. The commission's findings criticized Diefenbaker for his lenient handling of the situation. However, it ultimately concluded that despite the impropriety of the affair, there had been no breach of national security. What happened next would make this parliamentary sex scandal pale in comparison. At precisely 2:58 p.m. on that fateful afternoon, a deafening blast rocked the third floor of the center block. It sent literal shockwaves through the corridors of Canadian power and plunged the heart of our democracy into chaos. The Commons chamber, moments before a scene of orderly debate, erupted into a cacophony of confusion. Shouts for doctors pierced the air as bewildered members of Parliament struggled to comprehend the unfolding crisis. Among the first to react were MPs Patrick Nolan and Hugh Horner, who raced from their seats toward the source of the commotion. As they ascended the stairs, a thick fog of acrid smoke engulfed them. Guided by the frantic shouts of a commissionaire, Dr. Horner, a medical professional turned politician, pushed through the haze toward the men's washroom. The scene that greeted them was one of utter devastation. The washroom door hung in tatters, its panels blown out by the force of the explosion. Nolan, following close behind, managed only a few steps into the room before the gruesome sight and overwhelming stench forced him to retreat. "This is no place for me," he uttered, his voice barely audible above the chaos. As he stumbled back into the hallway, he nearly collided with three more MP doctors rushing to the scene. Inside the washroom, Dr. Horner confronted a scene that would haunt him for years to come. Through the slowly dissipating smoke, he discovered the shattered remains of a man lying on the terrazzo floor. The victim had been blown apart. Despite the horrific injuries, Horner detected faint signs of life, a gurgle, a rasp, a desperate attempt to communicate.
What Horner saw that day, I'm sure, couldn't be unseen.
Yeah. Right? Even if you're a doctor, you know?
It's like doctors don't typically see that, right?
No.
And I'd imagine that in that moment, any politics in his head just fell away in the face of this mortality, right?
Yeah.
Like the shock of it would just, everything else would be forgotten, you know, just blood, smoke, just the horror of somebody dying on a washroom floor.
Yeah.
It's a terrible scene.
As news of the explosion spread, the center block descended into pandemonium. Bewildered secretaries fled their offices while confused tourists wandered the smoke-filled corridors. Commissionaires barked orders attempting to shepherd crying students to safety. The cacophony of shouts and orders blended with the lingering wisps of smoke, creating a surreal atmosphere of controlled chaos. Prime Minister Pearson then informed the House that a bomb had exploded in the washroom on the third floor, resulting in one fatality. He agreed with Diefenbaker's suggestion to suspend the sitting until 4 p.m. to allow for the situation to be assessed and cleared up. When the House resumed at 4 p.m., Solicitor General Pennell informed the members that the RCMP and Ottawa City Police were cooperating in the investigation of the incident. In the immediate aftermath, conflicting reports and speculation ran rampant. Some mistook the blast for a firecracker prank, while others feared a targeted attack on Parliament. The protective staff, initially confused, worked to establish order and reassure the public. Outside on the paved area in front of the Peace Tower, a strange scene unfolded. Uniformed school children in plaid skirts and knee socks mingled with politicians in pinstripes. The air buzzed with nervous laughter and frantic speculation as everyone struggled to make sense of the events unfolding within the hallowed halls of Parliament. As the smoke began to clear, the full extent of the tragedy came into focus. The bomber, whose identity was initially a mystery, had apparently detonated the explosive device in a washroom cubicle. The blast had not only claimed his life, but had also caused extensive damage to the historic building. Marble partitions, intact since the turn of the century, lay shattered. Walls were pocked with shrapnel, and the floor was littered with a grisly mix of debris and human remains. The explosion sent shockwaves far beyond the physical damage to the building as word of the explosion spread quickly. House Speaker Lucien Lamoureux, still dressed in his official black robes, addressed the press corps, acknowledging the delicate balance between security and public access that now needed to be reassessed.
And that's the challenge, isn't it? How do you protect an open institution without making it a fortress?
Right.
You know, because Parliament isn't just a workspace, it's a symbol, right? It's symbolic. And, you know, as a marketing guy with all the stuff that's going on in the world right now, I do find the symbolism of lots of things quite fascinating, mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if everybody sees things for the symbolism that I do, because my head's always been in that space.
Sure, sure. Yeah, yeah. I get what you're saying.
And, you know, Parliament is meant to be accessible, visible, and human, right? And but openness carries a risk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the bigger picture, right? It's the old dilemma again. Security and liberty, right? Held in tension. It always is. If you lean too far one way, you start building walls. If you don't go too far the other way, you leave the doors wide open. And the balance isn't easy, but it is everything.
Yeah.
There's this one French cartoon that I love, has this beautiful woman with the word liberty on her dress, and she has like there's a little tiny T-Rex in front of her that says sécurité, right? And yeah. And then the next frame, it's slightly bigger, and then the next frame, the T-Rex is life size, and it's like, so it's sécurité is eating her. Eating liberty.
Eating the liberty, yeah.
I love that cartoon so much.
Yeah. As investigators swarm the scene, led by the seasoned homicide detective Lieutenant George Zucco, questions began to mount. Was this an act of terrorism, a politically motivated attack, or a tragic case of suicide? The grim task of piecing together the bomber's final moments fell to a team of forensic experts who meticulously combed through the carnage for clues. As the dust settled in the third-floor men's washroom of the center block, investigators were confronted with this gruesome scene. The blast had torn through the bomber's body, severing his right arm and inflicting massive injuries to his torso and face. The first real clue came from the bomber's remains. Despite the extensive damage, investigators were able to recover a 23-page speech titled, "If I Was President of Canada," from his body. This document provided an initial insight into the bomber's motives and mental state, but it didn't immediately reveal his identity. A library card was found in the dead man's pocket at the scene of the explosion, which had a name, Paul Joseph Chartier, and a Toronto address. The breakthrough came when police received a tip about the bomber's recent movements. As news of the explosion in the Parliament building spread, Harry Binky, the manager of the St. Louis Hotel, a modest establishment favored by blue-collar workers just across the river from Ottawa in Hull, Quebec, recalled one of the prior night's guests. Binky felt an inexplicable connection between the event and a peculiar man named Paul Joseph Chartier, who'd arrived only a day before the explosion. He checked in, paying for two nights with a traveler's check. Chartier's behavior during the stay was at first blush unremarkable, but in retrospect, subtle signs of his troubled state emerged. He made frequent trips to the washroom, offered whiskey to the chambermaids in the morning, and left a curious note asking for his belongings to be stored. The hotel staff had no clue what Chartier was planning. On May 18th, the day after his arrival, Chartier left the hotel carrying a satchel. Hours later, the explosion rocked the House of Commons in Ottawa.
We've got a whole lot more in store, and we'll be back right after these on the Curious Cast Podcast Spotlight.
Hi, Merle Coombs here with Spruce It Up and Green It Up Lawn Fertilizer. Do you want the greenest grass on the block? I formulated our fertilizer for Alberta in Alberta to give you the thickest, greenest grass on the block with our Green It Up Lawn Fertilizer. You can pick up a bag in store or call or book online. We can apply it for you. At Spruce It Up Garden Center, we always have everything you need and more for the best plants, trees, flowers, landscape supply, and the greenest grass on the block. Spruce It Up, Green It Up, Prune It Up. We got you covered.
Live healthy, live happy, live in a loving community. Welcome to the Manor Village, a place where seniors have fun together while living a full life. The Manor Village is more than a beautiful residence. They surround seniors with wonderful people that treat your loved ones with respect, kindness, and care. Experience elevated senior living with fitness and entertainment programs, Red Seal culinary experiences, and more. Manor Village, the community with heart. See all 9 locations and schedule your tour at themanorvillage.com.
As our bodies age, they bring some aches and pains that we haven't had before. And isn't that awesome? Hi, Gord Gillies here for Active Sports Therapy. Their unified team of over 30 expert practitioners have one common goal, to help you truly enjoy all the things you love. Don't suffer through shoulder, hip, or lower back pain. Do something about it with a combination of physiotherapy and sports chiropractic care, including active release techniques, laser, shockwave, acupuncture, and more. All under one roof. Get active about your health and start at activesportstherapy.ca.
Hey Calgary. For 51 years, Calgary Paving has been providing asphalt paving services to this great city. From parking lots to acreages to roadwork, we deliver smooth, durable asphalt and concrete services for residential and commercial projects of all sizes. Calgary Paving is one of the largest and longest serving paving companies in Alberta. And across southern Alberta, Calgary Paving delivers top quality service and unbeatable craftsmanship to every job. Big or small, get a free quote today. Visit calgarypaving.com.
It's Dave.
And Evelyn.
From the Camera Store, there is a new Nikon full-frame camera in Calgary.
Our new Nikon Z5 II demo has arrived at the Camera Store for you to check out.
The Nikon Z5 II is a powerful and versatile camera featuring the latest autofocus technology, an incredible light-gathering full-frame sensor, and enhanced features for both photography and video.
Get the robust yet surprisingly affordable Nikon Z5 II in your hands at the Camera Store. Discover more info in-store or online at thecamerastore.com.
Come on in to Home Network.
Welcome home!
And find experts who feel like family.
This is spectacular. I was not expecting this.
Ideas to inspire your everyday.
Brilliant. Beautiful.
And stories that will touch your heart.
Oh my God!
I love that big family hug.
There's no place like it. Welcome to Home Network. Stream on Stack TV. Brought to you by Color Spark Paint. It starts with a spark.
Filling your speakers with live Stampeders football. Get ready for the next exciting game on QR Calgary.
The Stamps gallop into the season with a visit from the Hamilton Tiger Cats Saturday, June 7th. QR Calgary has all the action with your pregame show at 3:30 and your kickoff at 5.
All the hits, all the plays, Stampeders football on QR Calgary. Brought to you by Renovations by Hearth and Home. Imagine the extraordinary. Visit renovationsbyhearthandhome.com.
Hi, I'm Donna Friesen from Global National. Life moves fast these days, and we want to make it even easier for you to get the news you need. That's why you can now get Global National every day as a podcast. The biggest stories of the day with analysis from award-winning global news journalists. New episodes drop every day, so take this as your personal invitation to join us on the Global National podcast. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Curious Cast Podcast Hour with Chris Dunner Duncombe.
QR Calgary.
Welcome back to the show on our new expanded Curious Cast Podcast Spotlight. If you've been listening to the show for a while, you're probably used to us playing a featured episode from front to back from a special podcast. Well, now we've expanded the show to a new 2-hour format. So every single week on the show, you'll get 2 featured episodes, 2 different podcasts to turn you on to maybe some of your new favorites. There are millions of podcasts out there, and sometimes it can be kind of tough to navigate, to find the best ones. Well, at least the best ones for you. We've all got our favorite comedy podcasts that make us laugh, history podcasts that teach us something we didn't know, news podcasts that keep us informed, and true crime podcasts, which we seemingly can't get enough of. Every single week on this show, then, you'll get now 2 featured podcasts, and we're excited for the shows that we have in store for you. You can find all of the shows that we feature on the show at CuriousCast.ca, in addition to all your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and so many others. All right, let's get to it.
Acting on instinct, Binky entered Chartier's room and discovered personal items left behind, including a handwritten note that suggested Chartier had planned to return. The police quickly connected the dots between the explosion and Chartier thanks to Binky's timely call and the evidence found in room 132 of the St. Louis Hotel. At the hotel's registration desk, police found Chartier's registration card with his name and Toronto address matching the library card found at the scene. In the hotel room, police discovered his belongings, including a black hat, clothing, an electric razor, empty beer bottles, and 2 pints of rye whiskey. At Chartier's Toronto residence, investigators hit the jackpot. They uncovered several sticks of dynamite, fuses, and 2 crude bombs. More importantly, they found writings titled, quote, Young Years, which provided details of the bomber's life and his growing conviction that the world was against him. Further investigation revealed that Chartier had purchased 10 sticks of dynamite in Newmarket, Ontario, just days before the attack. This information, combined with eyewitness accounts from Parliament Hill, helped investigators piece together Chartier's final moments and the sequence of events that led to the premature detonation of his bomb. In the days that followed, a clearer picture of the bomber began to emerge. A 15-year-old student, Robert Loisel, provided a crucial eyewitness account. He described encountering a man in his late 40s wearing a plaid shirt and exuding the strong scent of alcohol just minutes before the explosion. The description matched that given by Don Miller, the common sound engineer, who had observed the man asking for directions to the washroom.
Can you put like a sound effect behind this? Matthew's top tip for terrorists.
Okay, here goes.
Here's Matthew's top tip for terrorists.
Don't set up your bomb while drunk. Keep listening for more tips.
Exactly. If you're pickled, keep the TNT away from your darn fingers.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's just asking for trouble.
Well, right? I did some stupid things drunk, but playing with TNT and trying to blow up Parliament wasn't one of them. Yeah, all jokes aside, I do feel bad for this guy's family, but he did do that to himself and intended to hurt others, so, you know. Once he was identified, the top question on everyone's mind was, who was Paul Chartier, and why on earth did he want to blow up Parliament? Paul Joseph Chartier entered the world on August 5th, my birthday, 1921, in Bonnyville, Alberta. Bonnyville is a vibrant town in the province's Lake District, boasting a rich history that interweaves with indigenous heritage, fur trade, and pioneering spirit. Long before European contact, Cree and Chippewyan peoples thrived around Moose Lake, Lac l'Original, establishing deep connections with the land that would shape the region's future. The area's recorded history began in 1789 when Angus Shaw, a Northwest Company trader, established a post on Moose Lake's shores. This marked one of Alberta's earliest European structures and heralded the fur trade era that would drive the region's initial development. Modern Bonnyville's foundations were laid in 1907 when French-Canadian pioneers, encouraged by missionary priests, settled in the area. The community grew rapidly, with a post office established in 1908 and the arrival of Reverend Francis Bonny, the town's namesake. By 1920, Bonnyville had become a small but thriving village, though isolated until the Canadian National Railway arrived in 1928. Throughout its history, Bonnyville has been shaped by diverse cultures, including the Métis people, whose presence is exemplified by the nearby Elizabeth Métis settlement established in 1939. The town's incorporation in 1948 and subsequent discoveries of natural gas and oil in the late 1940s and early 1950s transformed Bonnyville into an important energy center. Today, Bonnyville stands as a testament to its multicultural roots and pioneering spirit. At just 15, Paul Chartier made a pivotal decision to leave his studies behind at a high school in Hinesburg, Alberta, embarking on a life of labor on the family farm. This choice marked the beginning of a tumultuous journey that would see him transition from the fields of Alberta to the rugged terrains of the Northwest Territories. In 1939, 2 years after leaving school, he secured a position at the Consolidated Mining and Smelting Company, thanks to his brother René's influence. Here, he took on the perilous role of a driller handling dynamite, a job that would shape his early adulthood.
We've got a whole lot more in store, and we'll be back right after these on the Curious Cast Podcast Spotlight.
Hey Calgary, it's Boyd from Manor Hill Realty again. Spring is here. What better time to find your dream home? At Manor Hill Realty, we're excited to be partnered with award-winning Rowid Homes, bringing affordable, designer, new construction homes across the Calgary region. Whether you're looking for a condo, a townhome, or a single-family detached home, we've got them all, and we can't wait to show you. Get in touch with us at 403-585-8704 or contact us at manorhillrealtyyyc.com.
Overnight Expedite is here to keep your packages and parcels moving. With Overnight Expedite's XPAC mailbag service, you can ship almost anywhere in Alberta with next day delivery for just $12 plus GST. No hidden fees, no hassle. From Edmonton to Medicine Hat, from Grand Prairie to Red Deer, One Transport Group are Alberta's locally owned courier service. Overnight Expedite. When time matters, they deliver. Visit shipexpedite.com today to learn more. Proudly supporting Be the Change YYC, helping end homelessness.
Alberta, we're wild and tough and beautiful.
We agree that good enough isn't good enough. And though everything that matters starts with a home and a family. At Lux, our family has been handcrafting windows and doors for this incredible place for over half a century. And there's no place we'd rather be. Everything we are is windows and doors. A company born and bred and made in Alberta.
Don't miss the amazing giveaway happening now at House of Cars. There are weekly draws for barbecues, TVs, Yeti mugs and coolers, remote starters and more. Or the grand prize of 10 grand. No strings attached and no purchase necessary. Enter in person at House of Cars.
Now this update from the Canadian press. King Charles and Queen Camilla are set to arrive in Canada Monday for the first time in more than 2 years. The king will open Parliament and deliver a throne speech on Tuesday, something his mother, Queen Elizabeth II, did twice in 1957 and 77. A vigil was held Sunday evening as a town in Ontario continues to mourn a teacher and four teenage girls who were killed in a car crash on Friday. Mayor Chris Peabody says almost everyone in the community has been touched by the loss. Well, experts say there are several ways people can better position themselves to weather economic storms. RateHub.ca's everyday banking expert says she has shifted her advice towards stability and resilience. And Canadian team Victoria Imboko has earned her first career Grand Slam victory. The 18-year-old's win at the French Open means Imboko has claimed all 8 sets she's played over the past week plus on the red clay at Roland Garros. From the Canadian press, I'm David Augustine.
Curious Cast Podcast Hour with Chris Dunner-Duncombe.
QR Calgary.
Welcome back to the show on our new expanded Curious Cast Podcast Spotlight. If you've been listening to the show for a while, you're probably used to us playing a featured episode from front to back from a special podcast. Well, now we've expanded the show to a new 2-hour format. So every single week on the show, you'll get 2 featured episodes. 2 different podcasts to turn you on to maybe some of your new favorites. There are millions of podcasts out there, and sometimes it can be kind of tough to navigate, to find the best ones. Well, at least the best ones for you. We've all got our favorite comedy podcasts that make us laugh, history podcasts that teach us something we didn't know, news podcasts that keep us informed, and true crime podcasts, which we seemingly can't get enough of. Every single week on this show, then, you'll get now 2 featured podcasts, and we're excited for the shows that we have in store for you. You can find all of the shows that we feature on the show at CuriousCast.ca, in addition to all your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and so many others. All right, let's get to it.
However, in 1942, seeking a change, Chartier returned home to assist his father on the farm before making a significant commitment to serve in the Royal Canadian Air Force, RCAF. His service was confined to Canadian soil, culminating in an honorable discharge in 1945. In the aftermath of World War II, Chartier's life took on an air of uncertainty. Rumors suggest he may have driven trucks along the treacherous Alaska Highway, a chapter he would later weave into his partially fictionalized autobiography. The post-war period also saw him venture into business alongside another brother, co-owning a hotel in Manitoba. Yet this enterprise was short-lived. By 1951, Chartier had sold his stake and returned to Alberta to once again work with his father. It was during this time that he leapt into entrepreneurship by purchasing a hotel with assistance from a family loan. In October 1952, at 31 years during this time that he leapt into entrepreneurship by purchasing a hotel with assistance from a family loan. In October 1952, at 31 years old, he married a woman 14 years his junior. However, this union quickly soured, leading to separation by 1958 and culminating in allegations of domestic abuse from his ex-wife. As the 1950s progressed, Chartier's life spiraled into instability, marked by a series of professional setbacks and personal failures. He became increasingly disillusioned with what he perceived as systemic corruption among politicians in Alberta and beyond. His career oscillated between roles as a security guard and truck driver in Edmonton, during which time he faced multiple legal troubles, including assault charges that were eventually dropped. A conviction for obstructing a peace officer further tarnished his reputation. In 1961, amid personal upheaval following his divorce, Chartier relocated to the United States in search of better opportunities. Settling in New York City brought little relief, despite working as a detective for various hotels and operating a gas station, where he suffered considerable financial losses. His fortunes continued to dwindle. Chartier's search for stability led him to California and into another romantic relationship that lasted until 1964 but ultimately ended without resolution. The following year found him in Miami running yet another gas station where financial troubles persisted alongside legal issues. Again, he faced assault charges that were later dismissed. Through these turbulent years, marked by failed ventures and legal entanglements, Chartier's life reflected the struggles of many seeking their place in post-war North America. Between 1962 and 1966, the man who would later be known as the Mad Bomber led an increasingly nomadic existence, drifting through a staggering 10 jobs and 11 addresses. His erratic behavior and inability to maintain stable employment painted a portrait of a troubled individual described by former employees as an oddball, drifter, and loner. Chartier's quest for fame and recognition took on peculiar forms as he struggled to make ends meet. In Los Angeles, he ventured into the music industry, producing a record and even financing a promotional film of himself singing. His musical aspirations, however, were met with a lukewarm reception, with one critic describing his voice as, quote, a sort of passable bathroom baritone. Considering where he died, ugh.
Ew.
Undeterred, Chartier's entrepreneurial spirit led him to attempt establishing a Lonely Hearts Club, and most intriguingly, to self-publish an autobiography under a pseudonym.
You may say drifter, Mike. I say Renaissance man.
Oh, no. A passable bathroom baritone.
I didn't even pick up on that when I read the script. Oh, he has a booming voice.
Oh, no. As Chartier's mental state deteriorated, his behavior became increasingly erratic. In early April 1966, he made an unexpected appearance at his brother Rene's home in Virginia, exhibiting mood swings that hinted at possible drug use. He was back and forth between Canada and the United States several times that year. The final act of Chartier's troubled journey began to unfold as he returned to Toronto for the last time. Here he embarked on what he ominously referred to as an operation, a plan that had been germinating in his mind for at least a year. Drawing inspiration from historical attacks of terrorism against legislatures, Chartier meticulously prepared for his ill-fated attack on the Canadian House of Commons. Chartier acquired the components for his improvised explosive device with alarming ease. Under an alias, he purchased dynamite, detonators, and a fuse for a mere $4.10. As he made his way to Ottawa on May 17, 1966, carrying the makings of destruction, little did the world know that this troubled drifter was about to etch his name into the annals of Canadian history in the most tragic way possible.
I've never heard this story. Or at least I can't remember having heard this story before.
Right.
And maybe that's the lack of civics classes.
This is why I tell these stories, and there is so much history in Canada that people are unaware of.
Mm.
I've heard it said over and over again, Canadian history is boring. It's about fur traders and trappers and colonialism. It is all about those things. Absolutely is all about those things. However, there's a lot of interesting stories that come out of those things, which is fascinating, and why I tell these stories.
I heard somebody once said, a country with a boring history is a good country to live in, right?
Well, Canada's history isn't boring, though, and it's still a good place.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe it's more recent history is a little bit boring, but honestly, I'd love to live in a boring country where you're not having massive political scandals or wars or famine or, you know what I mean?
Or people threatening to annex you.
Yeah, I'd rather live in a boring time than time today, right?
Yeah. Let's make Canada great again, Matthew. In the summer of 1966, Canada was still reeling from the shocking attempted bombing of its parliament by Paul Chartier. as the nation grappled with this unprecedented attack on its most revered institution, an inquest was announced to address the burning questions that had gripped the public consciousness. Crown Attorney John Castles declared that the hearing would last an unprecedented 2 to 3 days, a stark contrast to the typical three-hour inquests of the time.
Maybe even 3 days, it would be really short by today's standards of inquests.
Yeah. This inquest, held after extensive police and forensic investigations, was characterized by a methodical and clinical approach. Witnesses testified in response to Castle's probing questions, and their testimonies largely were devoid of human emotion or sympathy for Chartier. The public perception was that Chartier, having attempted mass murder, was undeserving of humane consideration. His madness did not absolve his conduct in the eyes of many. Dr. John S. Cross, the investigating coroner, provided some of the most compelling testimony. Despite being preempted as the presiding coroner by Chief Supervising Coroner Dr. Cottenham, Dr. Cross offered a more humane description of the blast scene. A favorite of the Ottawa Police Department, Dr. Cross was known for his ability to look beyond the broken bodies in search of fundamental underlying causes. Cross described Chartier's body as badly damaged, rent from top to bottom, with the thorax and abdomen wide open and viscera spread on the floor. Oof. One arm had been completely blown off and the lower jaw was missing, exposing the throat. He also noted finding a piece of copper shrapnel about the size of a quarter jammed into Chartier's throat, which he believed to be one of the principal causes of death. In a poignant moment, Dr. Cross revealed that while searching through Chartier's shredded clothing, he had discovered the typewritten document titled, "If I Was President of Canada." The inquest delved into the psychological motivations that drove Chartier to attempt such a heinous act. It was revealed that Chartier had developed a paranoid worldview fueled by frustration and suspicion. He believed that Parliament had become a debating forum for the privileged, ignoring the problems of common men like himself. Chartier's distorted logic led him to believe that he had the right to speak in Parliament. He imagined himself delivering an impassioned statement from the public gallery, telling the politicians about the plight of the poor, the unemployed, and the homeless, all people he claimed to have known personally. He saw himself as a modern prophet, hurling lightning bolts of revelation from the gallery, his words, and eventually TNT, onto the members of Parliament. The inquest also uncovered that Chartier had written to the Speaker of the House of Commons asking for permission for 5 minutes on an important subject. This letter, a testament to his delusional state, read, quote, "Dear Sir, has an individual person the right to speak in the House of Commons if he has an important subject to talk about? My talk would only be for about 5 minutes if I get the appropriate time when most members are there. Please answer as soon as possible. I will be going to the West Coast." Signed, P.J. Chartier.
So, first of all, that's a very pleasant note.
It was pleasant.
We've got a whole lot more in store, and we'll be back right after these on the Curious Cast Podcast Spotlight.
When you get into a new Tundra, you might suddenly find yourself towing a vintage wooden boat to the lake. Not because you know anything about boats or wood, but because you know you can. All that's left to do is drive it home. Get in and go right now at Toyota, where you can lease a 2025 Tundra 4x4 Double Cab SR5 from $154 weekly for 60 months at 5.19% with $6,699 down. Visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Prairie Toyota dealer today.
Let's go!
So much flavor.
Cheers! Cheers!
It's time to get warmed up!
This is going to be one hell of a competition.
What did you guys make?
There's a party happening in my mouth.
I'm here and I'm hungry.
I love to cook.
Ooh, I was called the chef. I must be doing something right.
This spring, only on Flavor Network. Stream on Stack TV.
Brought to you by Pandora, official launch partner of Flavor Network.
Is it your time for the win of a lifetime? Because it's Calgary Stampede Lottery's time. Win over $2.3 million in prizes, including the $1.49 million Dream Home. Buy tickets today for a chance to win our early bird prize, a 2025 GMC Yukon Denali, valued at over $100,000. Get your tickets before time runs out at calgarystampede.com/lotteries. Tickets sold only in Alberta. 18 plus, please play responsibly. License number 730-163-165 and 166.
Les Jardins Condos by Jamin Built, an exclusive condo community next to Quarry Park, now with new, lower pricing on all move-in ready suites. Luxury one- and two-bedroom condos available from the 320s, situated on a two-acre central garden. Experience high-end interior finishings, air conditioning, smart home technology, solar panels, and a state-of-the-art fitness center. Hurry, at this price, they won't last long. Tour our move-in ready suites, jamin.com/lesjardins.
At the doorstep of West Calgary and the Weasel Head Park, a vibrant new community is taking shape. A village for all, where shopping, dining, and entertainment are part of everyday life. With seamless access to over 500 acres of parkland, wetlands, and off-leash dog parks. See our new home options at the Sales and Marketing Center, now open. Welcome to Wondrous. Visit experiencetozahpark.com to learn more.
Can you repeat that? My tinnitus is driving me crazy today.
Sound familiar? If you are ready to tackle tinnitus, the Calgary Ear Center is a one-stop shop specializing in tinnitus, hearing aids, and sound sensitivity. With over 30 years of audiological experience helping people with tinnitus, specialist Suzanne McLaren and her team will find the root causes and the best solution for your tinnitus. Visit calgaryearcenter.ca to find out more and book your one-hour meet and greet. Tackle tinnitus today with Calgary Ear Center. 403-685-0810.
Running a small business is tough, now more than ever. Every marketing dollar has to work harder. That's why Canadian businesses trust Constant Contact. With email, events, and social tools, you can reach more customers, drive sales, and see real results. On average, every dollar spent on email marketing returns $36. That's ROI you can count on. Even in challenging times, our all-in-one marketing platform helps businesses grow. See for yourself. Start for free today at constantcontact.ca.
On Sunday, May 25th, take action and create impact at the Jamin Built MS Walk. Join us in your community to honor the strength of those living with multiple sclerosis and ensure no one faces MS alone. Turn your support into meaningful action by registering for the Jamin Built MS Walk. You'll be advancing research and support programs to help the over 90,000 Canadians living with MS. Walk for the cause, for the community, for loved ones. Register solo or as a team at mswalks.ca.
Feel the joy of making an impact with the Children's Hospital Lottery. Your ticket directly supports the equipment that helps children across Alberta get the life-saving care they need. Buy your tickets today.
License 730-858. 18 plus. Play responsibly.
Summer is green thumb season. But what do you do when your soil smells funny? What if your tomatoes aren't ripening and your lawn isn't so green? QR Calgary has all the answers for you with special three-hour summer episodes of Let's Talk Gardening every Sunday at 9 a.m. Spruce It Up Garden Center President Merle Coombs answers all your questions and gives you the tips and tricks you need for a beautiful garden and yard. Let's Talk Gardening on QR Calgary 770, brought to you by Spruce It Up Garden Center.
Curious Cast Podcast Hour with Chris Dunner Duncombe.
QR Calgary.
Welcome back to the show on our new expanded Curious Cast podcast spotlight. If you've been listening to the show for a while, you're probably used to us playing a featured episode from front to back from a special podcast. Well, now we've expanded the show to a new two-hour format. So every single week on the show, you'll get two featured episodes, two different podcasts to turn you on to maybe some of your new favorites. There are millions of podcasts out there, and sometimes it can be kind of tough to navigate, to find the best ones, well, at least the best ones for you. We've all got our favorite comedy podcasts that make us laugh, history podcasts that teach us something we didn't know, news podcasts that keep us informed, and true crime podcasts which we seemingly can't get enough of. Every single week on this show, then, you'll get now two featured podcasts, and we're excited for the shows that we have in store for you. You can find all of the shows that we feature on the show at CuriousCast.ca, in addition to all your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and so many others. All right, let's get to it.
I'm not.
That's something I would write to the government.
Sure, but you wouldn't have a bomb in your pants at the time.
No, but I wrote to the premier last week.
Yeah.
And I asked him to call me because I had some ideas for him.
Oh, no.
Do I think the premier's going to call? No, but I'm offering it.
You're a good citizen, Matthew. If only everybody would get so involved. But alas, we like to complain and not take action. Anyway, according to James A. Fontana's book, The Mad Bomber of Parliament Hill, Paul Chartier's writings reveal a man consumed by frustration, disillusionment, and a desperate desire for change in Canada's political landscape. He paints a picture of a troubled individual who believed he had been wronged by a corrupt system, leading him to contemplate extreme actions against the Canadian Parliament. Chartier's narrative begins with praise for the television program 7 Days, which he credits for exposing corruption and falsehoods in the government. I'm not aware of that. He expresses dismay that while the public seems to understand the issues, members of Parliament remain unmoved. This sets the tone for his increasingly agitated criticisms of the Canadian political system. Throughout his manifesto, Chartier rails against what he perceives as widespread corruption, high taxes, and low wages that crush the working class. He blames the government for personal failures in his business ventures and his marriage, seeing himself as a victim of a system designed to keep the common man down. His anger extends to the disparity between the rich and the poor, lamenting that, quote, the rich feed their dogs better than we look after our people, end quote.
Well, he's not wrong.
Exactly. Like, this is the thing. It's fascinating that you have some ideas that are not necessarily radical, but the method of getting them out there,
yep,
you don't have to blow people up.
Mm-hmm.
Chartier's writing takes on a more ominous tone as he proposes drastic measures to address these perceived injustices. He suggests cutting taxes, raising military wages, and even hanging those caught in corruption. His writings become increasingly paranoid, calling for increased security around Parliament Hill with, quote, missiles and tanks and soldiers, end quote. As his manifesto progresses, Chartier's mental state appears to deteriorate further, quote, I blame Parliament for divorces, separations, suicides, and a lot of people are in jail not being able to make a living, he wrote. He confesses to having spent a year thinking about how to, quote, drop a bomb and, quote, kill as many as possible for the rotten way you are running this country, end quote, referring to members of Parliament. This chilling admission is followed by a convoluted attempt to justify his thoughts, claiming that he ultimately realized the value of these, quote, intelligent people.
Well, first of all, he dropped a bomb, but just accidentally in the bathroom.
Yeah, on himself, yeah.
On himself. And if you want to get people who are voted in out, you vote them out. You don't have to bomb them.
The document concludes with Chartier proposing a motion for Canadian independence, suggesting a new way of running the country without breaking ties with England. This final section reveals a man who, despite his extreme ideas and violent thoughts, still clung to some semblance of the political process. Barely.
Barely.
Barely sane.
Yeah.
Chartier's troubled past and his journey across Canada and the United States were also examined during the inquest. It was revealed that he had held various jobs and attempted different businesses, all of which seemingly failed. These experiences had fueled his resentment toward the government and politicians whom he believed were out of touch with the struggles of ordinary citizens. The inquest also shed light on Chartier's interactions with others in the days leading up to his attempted attack. Witnesses recounted conversations with Chartier in local establishments where he had spoken about his plans to go to Ottawa and address Parliament. Many had dismissed his claims as tall tales or the ramblings of a troubled man. One particularly telling account came from a construction worker who had encountered Chartier in the tap room of the Spadina Hotel. The worker had mocked Chartier's claims about speaking in Parliament, telling him, quote, you gotta be elected to speak in the Parliament House, any dummy knows that, end quote. The inquest also examined the state of parliamentary security that had allowed Chartier to progress as far as he did with his plan. Questions were raised about how a man carrying explosives had managed to enter the building and make his way to a washroom near the House of Commons. This scrutiny led to a comprehensive review and overhaul of security measures at Parliament Hill in the aftermath of the incident. As the inquest progressed, it became clear that Chartier's actions were the result of a deeply troubled mind, fueled by personal failures, perceived injustices, and a growing paranoia. Quote, "Mr. Speaker, gentlemen," he ominously wrote in his speech, "I might as well give you a blast to wake you up," end quote. With this being the moment he intended to blow up PM Pearson and as many MPs as he could. The jury at the inquest was presented with a complex picture of a man who had spiraled into a dangerous delusion. They were tasked with considering not only the immediate circumstances of Chartier's death, but also the broader implications of his actions for Canadian society and political institutions.
I hope you've enjoyed what you've heard, and we can turn you on to some new favorite podcasts over the course of coming weeks. We'll be back next week with two more featured episodes for you as we enjoy and celebrate the world of audio entertainment and education that comes so uniquely from podcasting on nearly every platform out there. You can check out all of our podcasts right now at CuriousCast.ca. And until next week, my name is Dunner from the Curious Cast Podcast Network. We'll see you again next week with a brand new show.
In a world where it's easy to get wrapped up in distractions, we need to stop and ask an important question. Will you say yes to mental health? Put down your cell phone, turn off the TV and the laptop, and just ask, what does saying yes to mental health mean to you? Is it getting yourself counseling, supporting a loved one, or donating time or money to an urgently needed mental health program? Whatever saying yes to mental health means to you, please visit woodshomes.ca and say yes today.
Measles outbreaks are occurring in Canada, including Alberta. These outbreaks are highly preventable. Measles is an extremely contagious disease that is spread easily through the air. The best way to protect yourself, your family, and your community is to ensure you are up to date with your immunizations. Don't get measles. Get immunized. Visit alberta.ca/measles to find out if you're up to date and what to do if you're not. A message from the Government of Alberta.
Ah, summer in Canada. It's a rite of passage. Trips to the cottage, backyard barbecues, long nights, and heat waves. To look forward to all summer has to offer, Reliance Home Comfort has you covered. Right now, you can save up to $1,000 and pay zero upfront on standard installation of a new air conditioner. So to beat the heat, come home to cool comfort and save up to $1,000 with zero upfront on a new AC.
Call on Reliance.
Conditions apply. See website for details.
Global Fest returns this August, and you don't want to miss Calgary's most spectacular light show. Get your tickets now. For over 20 years, Global Fest celebrates a world of difference, year-round, with epic cultural performances at Heritage Park, daily multicultural programming at the Calgary Stampede, and so much more. Global Fest Summer Camp for Refugee and Immigrant Teens helps build community, connection, confidence, and a sense of belonging, because culture connects us all. Head to globalfest.ca and dive into the fire, fun, and festivity.
It's Dana here from Rangeland RV with some important news. With so much trade uncertainty out there, if you've been thinking of buying a new RV, act fast. Right now, Rangeland RV is fully stocked and we have great prices. But once our in-stock units sell out, you will pay more. And remember, Alberta has some of the best camping on the planet. This summer, camp local and keep your dollars in the province. Get your new RV now while prices are at their lowest. Rangeland RV, Canada's number one Forest River dealer.
Wouldn't it be nice to go home and just relax? Welcome to Montara in Cochrane, just 45 minutes from downtown Calgary and a short drive from the mountains. Montara offers those with a love for the outdoors a rare, elevated living experience. Each of their spacious estate lots back onto private and tranquil green spaces, expertly blending a deep connection to nature with modern comfort. Take the next step toward your dream home today before they're sold out. Visit livemontara.ca.
I'm Susan Holzman with the Calgary Children's Foundation. QR Calgary is happy to welcome Agnew Insurance, representing cooperators, as our hero of the month. Agnew Insurance is well known for their outstanding service when it comes to your insurance and financial needs. What you might not know is their dedication to their community and local charities. This month, Agnew Insurance will be making a generous donation to the Calgary Children's Foundation to help make the lives of children better in our community. Join QR Calgary as we salute Agnew Insurance as our hero of the month.
Hi, Calgary. It's Gord Gillies, here to tell you about a little girl named Avery. At just 9 days old, she was rushed to the hospital struggling to breathe. Her medical team gave Avery the life-saving care she desperately needed. And today, she's a vibrant, happy two-year-old. Your ticket for the Children's Hospital Lottery directly supports the...
And 730-858-18+. Play responsibly.
QR Calgary is 770 CHQR AM, a Chorus Entertainment radio station.
This is Global News. I'm Joshua Azizi.
The Liberal radio station.
This is Global News. I'm Joshua Azizi. The Liberal caucus has voted down rules that would have strengthened the say of backbenchers in who should lead their party.
Many Liberal MPs still feel the shock and awe of former Prime Minister Justin Trudeau clinging to power for months, even as calls from within his party grew for him to step down before he finally did in January. But not enough of them felt this way to adopt new rules set out under the Reform Act that would prevent that from happening again by emboldening caucus members, allowing them to force a leadership review. Liberals were tight-lipped after their meeting. Caucus Chair James Maloney would only confirm that a majority voted against adopting the rules. Kyle Duggan, The Canadian Press, Ottawa.
Pierre Poilievre is signaling that the Liberals might have some conservative support when it comes to resolving Canada's trade war with the United States. The conservative leader met with his caucus Sunday, a day before the House of Commons is set to return. He says he's willing to cooperate with the Liberals when it comes to reestablishing Canada's sovereignty and economic independence.
I've already told the Prime Minister that we are happy to cooperate any way we can to bring about an end to this unnecessary dispute and restore not just our sovereignty, but also tariff-free access to the most successful international trading arrangement in the world.
Poilievre is also accusing Prime Minister Mark Carney of putting his elbows down after tough talk around counter-tariffs during the election campaign. Meanwhile, King Charles will visit Canada Monday for the first time since his coronation. He will read the speech from the throne Tuesday, becoming the first monarch since 1977 to read the document. Russia and Ukraine completed the final round of their prisoner swap hours after Moscow launched a major